Welcome to OOD Works, the podcast, a show about unique individuals and the services provided by Opportunities for Ohioans with Disabilities, the state agency that helps individuals with disabilities find a job and be more independent. Here's your host, Kim Jump.
Eric Peterson of Mentor, Ohio, served our country as a Marine and was deployed to Iraq in 2005, and a couple of years later, he served in Afghanistan. Eric came back home and was a reservist and trained as an EMT, paramedic, and firefighter. While working as a firefighter in Akron, Eric experienced a life-changing event during his off hours. He had a near-fatal motorcycle accident that resulted in a traumatic brain injury. He joins the podcast to talk about his experience with some assistance from his dad, Tom Peterson. Thank you so much for your service, Eric. And welcome, Tom. Welcome, Eric, to the podcast. How did it come to be that you decided to enter military service?
Well, I wouldn't have gone to college for anything. That was kind of the thing. I wouldn't go to college. Military seemed like a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And what branch did you enter?
Marines.
The Marines. I always think of the Marines as like, you know, the toughest of the tough.
Yes.
Was the Marines did that way too.
Yeah, right.
Marines, I was infantry.
Infantry.
It's like you get put in a location, you go out and you do like patrols, find out what's going on, try to be helpful to the community. Then you get attacked.
Yeah. Whew. What countries did that take you to, or were you mostly in the States?
No, I was in Iraq, Afghanistan. Well, my second deployment, we were on a ship, which no longer exists. We were the last time it went out. It got decommissioned after we used it. It's kind of an old piece of crap ship, but.
Yeah, he had two combat tours, the first to Iraq, and then later to Afghanistan. And in the middle, he was on this ship, which basically was Middle East and the East Coast.
In the area.
Yeah, in the East Coast of Africa. They went to Kenya and did some training with the soldiers there. That was a more relaxing deployment for his parents, you know, because obviously the combat tours, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan were pretty nasty places, and he saw a lot of nasty stuff, of which we've only heard anecdotally, because Eric, being a typical veteran, doesn't really talk much about the time he was there, but his friends have kind of given us some insight into what went on, and it's pretty nasty stuff.
Gosh, I hadn't realized you were deployed twice. That like makes my thank you even bigger. That's a lot.
And he came out of the Marines as a staff sergeant, so he definitely was a leader. And he was really a good Marine by all accounts. When he came back from the last deployment, I think it was a major, said, "Hey, is there anything you do to keep him in the Marines?" They said, you know, that's kind of his call. And his real calling, he wanted to be a firefighter. But the Marines was a good bridge between, you know, high school and becoming a firefighter. So, and he achieved that goal as well.
Mm-hmm. So how many years of service was that altogether, Eric?
I don't know how long the extension was. Did the four that I originally signed up for, then either, I don't know if I've re-enlisted. I think I just did a 2-year or maybe a 3-year extension.
Basically, his main service time was roughly 5 years. It originally supposed to be 4 years, but he really, really wanted to go to Afghanistan, which, you know,
wow.
We really would have preferred he didn't, obviously. But that's, you know, to be a Marine, you know, I think he felt he had to do that. And so that gave it to, he joined in 2004, got out in 2009, and then he was a reservist with one of a local
325.
Yeah, the headquarters and support platoon, basically.
Battalion.
Our battalion. Yeah, I'm sorry. So that ended up being a couple more years, but his service time really was about 5 years.
I was a firefighter and paramedic. So I had to go through that school, those schools. When I got out of the Marines, I did the EMT basic course, which is like 3 months. Then the paramedic is like 9. Then the 240-hour class to be a firefighter.
He had a handful of part-time firefighting jobs during that time, you know, in smaller local communities in Lake County area. And ultimately, he became a firefighter for the city of Akron, which started in June of 2015.
What was that like for you? It sounds like, Eric, that had been a goal for quite some time. What was it like to be hired on with Akron?
That was a good thing. It's the fifth largest city in the state, so that was cool. The thing I found out from my house to drive to Akron, it was like 40, 45 minutes. I was like, dang, that's a long drive.
Yeah, on top of long hours.
Well, you're there for a day.
It's basically a 24-hour shift.
Cycle.
Yep. And it's one day on and 2 days off. Yeah. Effectively, there's it's a little more nuanced than that, but that's kind of what happened.
Somewhere along the way, you experienced a traumatic brain injury. Did that occur during your work as a firefighter?
No. Motorcycle accident did that.
You rode?
Yes.
And you were in an accident that caused the TBI?
Yes.
Oh, geez. Okay. Do you remember much about what happened?
No.
You know, with almost all TBI, there's no recollection of the accident, you know. He doesn't even remember that day, as far as I know.
No.
No, nothing about it.
No, it was March 8th in 2016, so it was roughly a year after he became, you know, joined Akron. And it was, you know, March 8th, the weather is spotty, but it was a gorgeous, you know, pre-spring day. And he took his motorcycle off just to go around the block, basically. But he lost control of it and it hit a telephone pole. And telephone pole basically won, which, you know.
Gosh.
You know, because it was a tough day for all of us. Oh, and it's been tough road to hoe, but he's made a remarkable recovery, too. They had no sense of if he would wake up or what he'd be like when he woke up. Because it was a pretty, you know, there's various degrees of traumatic brain injury. And his was probably, if it's a continuum of it's just a concussion or if it's fatal, he was somewhere in the middle or closer to fatal, really. So it was pretty serious. I mean, he was unconscious for 2 weeks. They kept him sedated because he was fighting he was on a ventilator and was fighting the ventilator. But he got tremendous care. And the nurses, staff, we just really appreciated the doctors and nurses there. And one nurse kept saying, I know he's in there. And she got him to give a thumbs up, basically, after like a little over 2 weeks of being basically in a coma. And that was the beginning of his road to recovery. And it's been a long road. He, as I said, he's had a lot of support from the VA. His insurance covered him to go to a rehab facility in Stowe. You know, he spent time at the VA. He spent time in Ann Arbor, which was awesome. It was a 9-month, it was supposed to be 6 months. It was called the ALTBI program. And he could have gone to a place in Columbus or Erie or Ann Arbor. And of course, Eric wasn't part of the decision-making process, but my wife and I looked at these places and the facility in Ann Arbor was really the best we thought for Eric. And it really was. We took him there. He was basically in a wheelchair. And when we brought him back home, we left the wheelchair behind him because for two reasons. One, he didn't need it. And two, we couldn't fit it in a car. But I mean, he made a lot of progress there. It was pretty awesome. And that was through the VA, and it didn't cost a cent for Eric. And at the end of it, he went from, he was in a room inside the facility. And next door, they had apartments, a supported living arrangement. And he was living on his own. I mean, they were supported living, so they would help with his medications, and they would take him to go grocery shopping or, you know, things of that nature. But he was pretty much somewhat independent. Mm-hmm. And it happened in that 9-month time frame. And then when he came back, the VA also gave him, there was a program they had in Richmond, Virginia, that was designed to really get him independent living, possibly driving. But at that, by that time, Eric had not been home for a year and a half, and he didn't really embrace the program. And so he was only there a few weeks, and he came home to, and basically he's been living with my wife and me since then.
Can I just go back just so that we know, the hospital where you spent those first couple weeks with the team that, Tom, you were saying was so excellent. Mm-hmm. Which hospital was that?
That's Hillcrest in Cleveland.
Okay.
Yeah, and they have, they're a level 2 trauma center, which means, you know, they're up there. They're equipped to handle people like Eric. And the doctors and nurses, the staff there was awesome. I mean, and of course, the support he got from family and friends that showed up. You know, Bernadette and her twin sister came down, and we did this. It's kind of funny. We're in the waiting room of the ICU. We're doing what they call a divine mercy chaplet. And the one doctor came in, and he thought we were all crazy, I think. It was kind of funny. But it was a lot of good support. You know, the Akron firefighters did a fundraiser for him in a place, you know, somewhere between Akron and Cleveland. One of Eric's friends who was in the Army owns a bar, and he did a fundraiser for him. So there was just a lot of good stuff that came out of it. As bad as this has been for all of us, it's been uplifting too, and just support, and the OOD's been super supportive too. I mean, he has his job at Goodwill because of the OOD.
Yeah, and I definitely want to get to that, but that's so cool to hear about how your family members and your friends and the professionals all rallied around you. When you look back to that time, Eric, what kind of goes through your head about it all?
Nice to have a bunch of people around me that are willing to help.
Yeah.
Part of the problem is he really doesn't remember a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't remember working in Akron so much, which is kind of interesting. Okay. But he remembers, like, he was a part-time firefighter in Painesville City, which is a little bit east of Manor. And he remembers that more than he remembers the Akron job. Mm-hmm. And he remembers the Iraq deployment, which was in 2004. Or five, I'm sorry, it was in 2005. He remembers that more than the Afghanistan deployment, which was a couple of years later. It's just, you know, the memory is flawed.
Yeah, it's so interesting how it's like retrieved different ways and different order, it sounds like. Yeah.
But he'll hear a song and he'll come in and be singing the lyrics. And his, you know, so there's a lot that's in there, and there's a lot that just isn't. So anything that happened, especially in the first year or two of the accident, I think his memory is a little bit hazy at best. I mean, his brain was so scrambled. He sat there squirming in a chair. We were sitting outside on a porch-like setting. And I said, "What's wrong, Eric?" And he said there was a 7-inch fish under his leg. And I said, "Well, I kind of look at Eric. I don't see a fish." And he dramatically did this. And, of course, there's nothing there. And it's like showing me this imaginary fish, really. And when we were sitting inside there, sometimes he tells us, "Be careful, there's a little boy or a dog under the table that's going to bite us." And it's called confabulation. It's, you know, hallucinating, I think. I don't know. It may not be true hallucinations, but to go from there, you know, and that just kind of over time, and there, I think therapy helped. You know, he's had speech therapy obviously physical therapy, occupational therapy, which is more of the fine motor skills, and speech therapy is just the whole processing. It's really, they call it speech language therapy now, but all that stuff over time, I think, and maybe I think just the brain reconnecting. You know, he had to learn to walk again. You know, when he was at Metro, I remember and Eric doesn't remember anything about this. The physical therapist had him on a walker, but you needed somebody walking behind him to hold the walker so it wouldn't, he wouldn't extend out and fall forward, and he'd take 10 steps and he'd have to sit on. And now, I mean, he's fine. It's just so much good that it was there. And I mean, I have spent more time with Eric than anybody else, probably everybody else combined, just because the nature of my job allowed me to take time off in the morning and stop by and see him at Metro as on my way to work. And then I subsequently retired a little bit early to help facilitate his recovery. It's just been impressive to see how far he's come.
Yeah, physically and mentally.
Absolutely. I mean,
for Eric, for you to do all the different therapies, but all that work to help kind of put things back. I mean, that sounds like you've been a fighter in that regard.
Yeah, you can fight to a point, and then after it takes a long time, you're like, you just get fed up. You're like, I gotta go again.
Mm-hmm. It got old.
Yes.
Sure. Your dad and others were pushing you to just keep hanging in there.
He always does.
Yep. And he still has the VA as support too. Mm-hmm. The trauma team, or the poly trauma team. There is an appointment next week with a doctor who sees him a couple times a year. And I mean, now they're helping him with his feet. He's had issues with his feet because his gait is altered. So they made orthotics. Yeah, they made him an orthotic. And so they're still supporting him in that regard, which is nice. And they meet monthly, and all the people have helped them out there because they have vocational therapists and obviously the various other therapy disciplines and psychiatrists that he'd seen and a psychologist. And it's just, and they still talk about him, you know, his progress, which is kind of nice. I mean, they're taking care of the vet, you know, and the VA, you hear a lot of bad things about the VA, and there has been some administrative glitches over the years, a handful of them. But as a whole, the VA has been awesome, and the care he gets is top notch. It really is.
Wonderful to hear. How did you all find OOD?
Probably through the VA's vocational rehab team. Mm-hmm. They said that the OOD will, you know, help somebody with Eric's disabilities. And yeah, Sonny Gilmore was the first person we met. And it's kind of funny because I had worked for the Jewish Family Service Association of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of, you know, we did a lot of, but we had DD group homes and we had mental health homes. And, you know, obviously there was Holocaust survivor things because it's a Jewish agency. But a lot of it was that in the, like I say, the DD world. And I was familiar with OOD. So when Eric first contract he had for employment through the OOD and with, you know, Sonny Gilmore self, I reached out to JFSA because I knew they provided job coaching services. Right. And I knew the guy that actually came out to our house or our condo. We're still living downtown at the time, and talked with Eric. And, you know, he worked at a Dave's supermarket, which is a pretty good place because they're a place, much like Goodwill, that will hire people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And it was a good experience for Eric. It was only a couple of weeks, but it was a good experience. It actually got him into just assimilating him back to the real world. Mm-hmm. And where he was away from us too. You know, yeah. I mean, right. He don't want to spend his whole time living with his mom and dad, you know.
Sure.
Our goal is still to get him living independently. And the doctors at the VA kind of think I'm out of my mind to even consider it. But if you don't try, it won't happen. So we're just, yeah. You know, and I can be patient. It's taken years. I mean, it's been 6 years since the accident. So, and he isn't there yet, but it's, you know, to me, it's still a goal.
Yeah.
And the Wounded Warriors are helping with that. You know, just all the support he's gotten, it's still pretty impressive. He first had I think it was through the OOD, something called Work Matters. But Eric wasn't quite ready. It was a classroom setting, and he really, they sort of asked him to not come back after a while. His filter was Bill pretty bad. I mean, he would
not ready.
Be kind of inappropriate, really. And again, it was like a classroom setting, and it was too early for Eric. I mean, we didn't know that until, I mean, we just didn't know, but right. We found out that even at Goodwill at first, he had to be careful because he would say inappropriate things to people dropping things off. I mean, Eric knows, he'll tell us that people drop off a lot of literally yes. garbage there. But
you have dropped off garbage.
Yeah, but you don't tell them that. You know, you say thank you and you move on, then you throw it away. But Eric would say, this is trash, and probably use a word stronger than trash, you know. But it's been a process.
I tell people, like, they try to drop off VHS tapes, we don't take those. Or they try to drop off just a bag of hangers. It's like, we all take the hangers.
Right.
Like, so we thought you could use them. It's like, nope, we have our own.
It's how you say it, that's the key.
Right.
Much nicer.
Were there steps between the first job with the market and then before you got hired on at Goodwill?
2018, he was still, for that entire year, he was getting therapies 2 days a week at the VA. Mm-hmm. He was getting physical therapy 2 days a week and then speech and occupational therapy. And it was kind of good when we first started taking him there. I would go with him to help him because the VA, like any other hospital, is difficult to maneuver until you get familiar with it. And, you know, he'd have a couple therapies, we'd eat lunch, and then he'd have the third therapy and go home. But toward the end, I was just dropping him off and he was on his own, which I thought was pretty good. He was, because when we first started going to VA, he'd walk down the hall and there'd be people standing in the middle of the hallway. And like we all do, we'd just go around them, but Eric would just go right through them because they were blocking him, you know? So it's just of all the many little things, you know, relearning societal norms. Mm-hmm. And again, it was that filter that was, but finally he might say something to me. I mean, and the VA helped with that. You know, the psychologist, you know, would tell him, you know, Eric, you gotta, they established techniques for him to maybe just think of something rather than saying something. That it was interesting. It was almost like retraining him from childhood. That you know, certain things you just don't say out loud, you know.
Yeah.
But 2019, we bought the house in Manor. We didn't move till early 2020. And once we moved, he found a job at a Fitworks here in Mentor. That was an interesting job. I don't think Eric particularly cared for it. And the last day he worked there, he basically kind of passed out at work.
Oh.
And part of it was too much sugar, and he was drinking like 3 or 4 monsters a day. And I mean, it was just not, it might have been dietary. He also had left the premises to buy cigarettes, which he doesn't smoke. You know, so I don't know what he was thinking there. But it was funny because the job coach didn't do the job. And this was not a job. I won't say the name of the firm. It doesn't matter. But they just kind of let him down, I think. And
at that point, he really still needed that support, it sounds like.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. And it wasn't Sonny Gilmore. Sonny Gilmore was transferred or something. I don't know. She wasn't his, I forget the title.
Counselor. Yeah.
Counselor. Yeah, it was some other counselor. Woman whose name escapes me. If I looked, I have the paperwork somewhere. Okay. But I believe she's the one, as you said, I wouldn't use that firm again because they let Eric down. He shouldn't have been able to walk out.
Right.
And so Fitworks didn't want him to come back. And then, you know, we understood. And then we got a hold of a guy named Steve, through the OD, Steve.
Namkoon.
Namkoon. Mm-hmm. And he worked with Goodwill a lot. And Eric was working at a Goodwill on the Near East Side of Cleveland, about 10 miles from here. And he worked with Steve, and Steve was his job coach. And I think we really like Steve. He's a great guy. He's since retired, but I don't think we need him anymore. But he also ultimately helped Eric get that connection with the Goodwill in Painesville Township. you know, provided some of the job coaching services there. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's been awesome. Eric's been at Goodwill for over a year.
Yes.
And he's
kind
of a valued employee, really. They need him. But I'll say this, Eric takes the job seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's ready to go in the morning. In Lake County, we have a transit system that'll take him to work and back. The hours aren't perfect. Like when he closes, we have to pick him up, which is something we'd rather not be doing.
Right.
But it's fine. So he books his own rides, and it's nice because he's out of the house and he's productive. And I think he embraces the job. He might not love the job. It's not a firefighter job, but that's, right. You know, I think he's ready to go. He gets there nice and early. And he works hard when he's there, by all accounts. So
you bring that discipline that you've had in your other positions. You bring that with you, it sounds like.
A little bit.
Yeah, I would think so. I hadn't thought of it that way, but I think that's true.
Your history is a very disciplined kind of, you know, career job.
Yeah, but then you see what people are actually donating. Like, really?
Yeah. So you mentioned you have one daughter.
Yes.
That's great. I bet she is really proud of all the progress that you've made.
I think so.
I believe she is. It, you know what? She is training to be an EMT and a firefighter.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool.
I bet you're so proud.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And she won a scholarship for going to school.
Yes.
I mean, it's pretty cool. She's gotten some awards already for what she's done, you know. And will she ultimately become a firefighter? We hope so, you know, and I know she hopes so, but we also know that sometimes things change and maybe she'll end up being a nurse or something, you know, who knows. But she's really a good kid, and we're proud of her. And
well, I know she wants to be a nurse. Her mom's a nurse.
I'm just saying. Right now,
trainer.
Right now, she's on firefighting course, and we'll see what happens, you know. One other thing I should add, Eric also has a son.
Oh.
He's got the 18-year-old daughter, and Connor just turned...
He's going to turn...
Oh, yeah. At the end of the month, he'll be 9. Right? So, but he lives in South Carolina with his mother and his sister.
Mm-hmm.
His sister, who is not biologically, she's not Eric's daughter, but Eric treated her like a daughter, and she still calls him dad and calls us grandma and grandpa. I mean, you know, he was the... Kids were in town for about a month, and we saw them numerous times, so it was nice.
You know, for your kids, you know, continuing to make that progress and do the work really is quite the example to them of handling adversity. You know,
it's not the dad he was, unfortunately. He really can't be, but he tries.
Yeah.
And that's important. So driving... He did get assessed at the VA about a year and a half ago. It was right before he started working at Goodwill, and he's going to be assessed again. We have the appointment with his polytrauma doc, who will connect us with this guy that will do a more formal assessment. He did a quick assessment with him, and just, you know, it was more like a test.
Yeah.
A literal test on a computer where, you know, the rules of the road and things of that nature. And, you know, Eric knows technically how to drive and he knows the rules of the road, but is he able to process? Because driving is not, you know, we kind of take it for granted when you've been driving. I've been driving for over 50 years and it's, you know, you almost take it for granted because you just, it's second nature. But when your brain can't process things the way it used to, it might be challenging.
That would be amazing for you to get back to being able to do that.
It'd be really nice.
I really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, we appreciate you taking the time too. You know,
that's kind of
cool. And I think it's a great story too. I mean, it's been a remarkable recovery, and he's probably already exceeded expectations from, especially the docs early on. And you know, by and large, the doctors and the professionals are a little conservative in their assessment of potential outcomes because they don't want to get your hopes up. I always have high hopes. I'm an optimist. And knowing full well, I mean, I know I've read some of the evaluations and it sounds like they believe I have unrealistic hopes, but I don't. I'm very realistic, but I'm also optimistic. Like, as I said earlier, if you don't reach as high as you can, you won't achieve it, you know?
Yeah.
And Eric's recovery has probably plateaued, but it doesn't mean it's ended.
It's been a pleasure. The pleasure getting to know you, Eric. I'm wishing you continued success. I'm hoping that the car assessment, that first piece that you go to do here in the near future, goes well for you.
I hope so, too.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
A transcript of today's episode is available at ood.ohio.gov/podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating and review. We're on social media at Ohio OOD. Do you have a disability? Do you want a job? We can help. OODworks.com.